Greetings, salutations. Welcome to the West Texas Catholic, the podcast, episode 42, brought to you by CAP and empowered by the Diocese of Amarillo. My name is Chris Albrecht. I'm Director of Communications for the Diocese of Amarillo. I edit the West Texas Catholic, the newspaper, and we do a little radio program occasionally called the West Texas Catholic, the audio version. So glad you could join us this week. We've got a fun guest coming up here in just a couple of minutes. It's not very often we get to identify somebody from the Texas Panhandle as a football player for the Fighting Texas A&M Aggies, but we do. He's Luke Braden from Stratford, a member of the class of 2023. He won the state championship with the Elks back in the fall of 2021, and he will be our guest here in just a couple of minutes. We'll talk to him about his walk-on journey, but we'll also talk about his faith journey because, you know, he's at the Catholic Student Center down at Texas A&M, which is the largest student center, Catholic Student Center, I should say, in the world. We'll talk to Luke about that in just a bit. Plus, we'll get you up to date with all kinds of diocesan news. But first, if you'll assume an attitude of prayer, we begin the program in prayer with a prayer for religious liberty. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty God, Father of all nations, for freedom, you have set us free in Christ Jesus. We praise and bless you for the gift of religious liberty, the foundation of human rights, justice, and the common good. Grant to our leaders the wisdom to protect and promote our liberties. By your grace, may we have the courage to defend them for ourselves and for all those who live in this blessed land. We ask this through the intercession of Mary Immaculate, our patroness, and in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, with whom you live and reign, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. My dime's worth of opinions, not necessarily those of the Diocese of Amarillo, the Diocesan Office of Communications, or St. Cappin. First and foremost, continue to pray for favorable weather for our farmers and ranchers. We're finally in an El Nino. It means we're going to get some more rains, and Lord knows we need it. So continue to pray for our farmers and ranchers. May they get the weather they need to grow the crops that they do so well growing. Keep in prayer those in need of prayer, the poor, the homeless, the unemployed, the sick, the dying, the lonely, the oppressed, the hungry, the thirsty, the discerning, the broken, the uncertain, the confused, and the incarcerated. Continue to pray for an increase of vocations to the priesthood and religious life. Go to amarillovocations.org. Find out everything you want to know about vocations in one spot, and please pray for Richard Escalante and Benjamin Sego, our two outstanding seminarians. To our healthcare workers and first responders, thank you for all you do for us. Your efforts do not go unappreciated on this particular program. Okay, we are in that lull before it gets heated again. Yeah, Election Day is coming up Tuesday, November 3rd. Are you registered to vote? Well, if not, you need to get that taken care of. That's step number one. Step number two, do your homework on the candidates. Where do they stand? How do their positions jibe with your Catholic beliefs? And then step number three, go vote, whether it's early voting in late October or Election Day itself, Tuesday, November 3rd, between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. As Catholics, we have a moral obligation to vote in elections, and that's all elections, not just the ones that we choose to vote in. So please get yourself registered, get educated. We'll see you at the polls on Tuesday, November the 3rd. Do want to remind you of a couple other quick things. Diocesan website, amarillodiocese.org and westtexascatholic.org. We've got plenty of news on those websites. Make sure you like us on Facebook. We're Amarillo Diocese on Facebook, and we put a lot of posts up there throughout the course of time. Also, the next issue of the West Texas Catholic, the newspaper, will be dated Sunday, August 16th. It'll go out as a flock note to those of you who are signed up on Monday, August the 10th. By the way, this podcast is at amarillodiocese.org/podcast or stcapn.com. But don't forget, keep up with this program and our other great offerings on our podcasting network, and then all of our fantastic Cap'n podcasts are now available on Spotify, Amazon Music, and Apple Podcast. Just waiting for me to slip up on that, aren't you, David? Just kidding. You can edit that out. Next podcast will be dropping on Friday, August the 14th, and we are scheduled to have Monsignor Michael Caldwell as our guest. He's had quite the journey in his 32-plus years as a priest. He's got a brand new program that he's going to talk about, and we're going to let him discuss that with you on the next podcast, episode 43, dropping on Friday, August the 14th. Our guest on the West Texas Catholic, the podcast, episode 42, powered by the Diocese of Amarillo, more importantly brought to you by Cap'n, is a guy, when you look at him, you think I'm going to sit there and say a crossword about this guy? He's bigger than me. And if I do say something cross, by the way, and I don't finish this podcast, please take me to school or Boxwell, please. Joining us for a couple of minutes from Stratford, Luke Brayton joining us. You're a junior at Texas A&M University athletically, but a senior academically.
Yes, sir.
How does that work?
Well, a little bit of that is just dual credit hours. Had all sorts of hours coming into A&M, doing those through Amarillo College and high school. And then took some summer classes while I've been at A&M, but I've just got my 6-hour semester next year in the fall. That's all it's going to take for me to be full-time, get my degree, walk the stage in December.
Well, congratulations on walking the stage in December. Luke walked on at Texas A&M, and we're going to talk about that journey as a walk-on player for Texas A&M and talk about the world's largest Catholic student center, which is also at Texas A&M University. You're a native of Stratford. You played on how many state championship football teams did you play on?
Just one.
Just the one in
just
21,
one.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. My junior year of high school.
Is that the greatest thrill so far in your athletic career?
Yeah, it might have to be, because that was the first time we ever walked, aside from Lubbock Stadium, that was the first one where we walked in and you're looking around like, oh my goodness, like this is bigger than Sam Bass Stadium. And so being in that environment, having all of Stratford behind us, just getting that experience was pretty cool.
Stratford's known for having a solid football program. It's kind of like the Nazareth of high school basketball in this part of the world. Why do you think that Stratford football has been so good for so long?
Definitely just because of the tradition that we've made. I mean, that started way back in, Eddie Metcalf, for sure, and even Brad Thiessen before him, just instilling like what Stratford is about. And then that's just gotten passed down and passed down and passed down through Eddie Metcalf and then to Coach Lovern and then to Coach Murphy, kind of just the way that we do things. And then everyone buys in. All the kids growing up, you grow up watching the Stratford Oaks and you're like, dang, like that's really cool. That's something that I would love to do. So going from there, I think you get to high school and there's just a standard that's expected of you. And they kind of do things a little bit differently. Like you don't really drive around many high schools in the state of Texas and see people marching around the track for their spring training and doing just getting yelled at by their coaches. I don't know. Things are done just a little bit differently. And that's maybe why there's been some success in the past.
When did you first hear about the so-called Stratford way of doing business in football? How old were you when you first learned about that?
I think I've heard the most of that from Coach Murphy, because he's one who came in. So did Coach Lovern, but Coach Murphy came from coaching elsewhere, and he's one that whenever he got the head job, which I heard about it a whole lot earlier than that, but he emphasized it a lot whenever he got the head job that Stratford is a great place because like they do things differently. The community will rally around a good cause, and I don't know. That's kind of like I've heard a lot of it from there, but even like growing up, you got a little bit of, like, you think you're a little bit better than everyone else as far as athletics go. I don't know. Maybe not. But looking around, seeing that, hearing it from everyone else, you're like, okay, things are different here. Like, this is pretty important.
Luke Brayton is our guest. He is a native of Stratford. He's a junior on the Texas A&M football team. And we're glad that you spent some time with us during your brief stay up here in the area before you head back to College Station. College Station is not a foreign territory to you because you and your family have been known to drive from Stratford all the way to College Station in one day, go watch a football game, and turn around and come back home, right?
Something like that. We might.
I might have embellished that just a little bit.
No, you're good. That's basically it. We drive down, stay a quick night, which what we used to do is we would just ride in our buddies' RVs. The Carvers. We'd load up with the Carvers and drive down, watch a game, spend the night in there and head back. So yeah, pretty quick trips growing up, which it's not a pretty quick trip, but we tried to make it a pretty quick trip.
With your mom behind the wheel, it's a quick trip, yeah. I'm sure. When did you first think, you know, I want to be down on the field? I want to be wearing the maroon and white of the Fighting Texas A&M football team. When did that thought first cross your mind?
Sometime whenever we had gone down for an A&M football game, and we were always like the fans that were going to go that extra mile, because we'd always go and find the players after the games. We'd go down, we'd leave the game. Our buddy David Carver would always know where to go. We'd go stand outside that door and meet all the players as they walked out. And I don't know, I maybe was like a seventh or eighth grader. Maybe I was in high school. Maybe I was a freshman at that point. And we were just shaking hands with all the players, getting pictures, getting autographs. It was Colin Gillespie. It was the 12th man then. And I just thought he was the coolest dude ever. Like watching him on TV, I'm like, okay, he's a walk-on. He's just doing this for the love of the game. Or like that's how it started for him. And I just thought that was really cool. And I thought he was a cool dude. And I was like, man, I love A&M. I love football. Like maybe this could be me one day. So that's wherever it started.
And now you're the guy walking out.
Yeah.
And how does that feel after being one of those that always shook hands and sought autographs? Now you're walking out with the rest of those players.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty cool. It really makes you step back a little bit because you're like, okay, I've been in these kids' shoes before. I was that little kid reaching out for a high five. So you know what they're thinking. You know how much it means to them. So I think I can relate to them a little bit.
Well, we're playing now, but there's a start to this story. So take us to when you got to A&M to attend school. And take us through how you wound up being a walk-on on the Texas A&M football team.
Okay, so obviously it starts in high school. I wasn't sure about playing football because I really did like football, and I knew getting recruited by A&M wasn't on the table. So Coach Lovern was trying to get me, like, talking to some schools, and they'd have a coach come in here and there, and we'd sit down and talk to him. But weighing the two options, it was like, okay, A&M is definitely where I want to go to school. So then me and my buddy Zane, we were like, okay, we're going to go to A&M together, and that's about where the point where I was like, okay, well, I still want to at least try and play football. So the plan's going to be enroll at A&M and then just try and start getting bigger. And if I can get big enough and try and walk on, great. And if not, I'm going to live a really fun time in College Station. So I got down there. I started school the summer after my high school year. I started in Gateway. It's like this little bridge program. So I went and took two classes that summer and just started going to the rec center and lifting as often as I could, trying to eat as much as I could too, all you can eat at the dining hall. So put on quite a bit of pounds, probably put on like 25, 30 pounds that first summer. Got back and everyone's like, oh my gosh, like, why are you getting so big? I was like, oh, I'm going to try and play football. We'll see though. And then I just kept the ball rolling, tried to keep getting bigger. And then spring break of my freshman year, right before spring break of my freshman year is whenever they had that tryout, tried out and our player personnel guy texted me the next day or 2 days after that, after they had like looked over everything and they're like, hey, yeah, we want to invite you to be on the football team. And I'm like, great. Sounds awesome. So that's a little bit of what the process looked like from here to there with some paperwork in between.
But, and a lot of paperwork in between.
Yes, sir.
Your forte is special teams and you're also on as a tight end, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Tight end offensively. So like the last 2 years, I've just been given a scout look on the scout team. But yeah, like getting on the field first would definitely be special teams.
And I hope it's against the University of Texas sometime around Thanksgiving. That would be sweet.
Yes,
right,
sir.
There. Luke Braden is our guest. So glad you could join us here on the West Texas Catholic. The podcast episode 42 is brought to you by CAP and powered by the Diocese of Amarillo. It is a Catholic podcast, so you know we've got to talk about
absolutely.
Faith and you being cradle Catholic as well.
Yes, sir.
You're at the world's largest Catholic student center at Texas A&M University.
Yes, sir.
How many students are we talking about there?
How many Catholic students?
Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure. I should have looked that
up. It's in the thousands upon thousands.
Oh, definitely. It's like you said, it's the most in the nation. We also have just got a bunch of people down there. So that's kind of like, as a result, we'll produce a lot of Catholics. But even like I've met people just like talking to people. They're like, I'm like, what like made you want to come to A&M? And they're like, yeah, the Catholic Center. I'm like, dang, like really? People around the country are just looking at A&M because of St. Mary's? And that was my freshman year talking to some dude at the dining hall. And I was like, dang, we've got something serious rolling here. St. Mary's is special because like it's cool to come from Stratford where, like you said, cradle Catholic, grew up Catholic, going to church every Sunday is great. And you've got your friends that are Catholic there. And it's more of a smaller circle of what you see. But like, what you're seeing more of is the grandma and grandpa going to church, the old couple with four kids. Like, you're not really seeing as much of kids your age on fire with their faith. And then, which I saw a little bit of that in high school, going to Steubenville Conference and here and there, but then getting to A&M and it's like, dang, these guys are on fire with their faith. This is like kind of cool to be around, get to meet some of these guys. So yeah, it's a pretty awesome deal.
How important has your faith been in your football journey?
It's been everything, if I'm being honest. Getting to College Station, like, obviously, it's never going to be as easy as it sounds. There's, like, ups and downs. So staying rooted in a good prayer life and just surrounding yourself with good people who are going to pray for you, going to pick you up and keep you going on that journey is everything, really. And I had my buddies, my cousin Brock would always tell me, he's like, yeah, dude, I just prayed the rosary for you. I'm like, dang, like, I appreciate that. Like, that's actually, like, you don't know it, but that's really cool because, I don't know, this is kind of getting hard right now, so.
And pray for this young man. I hope he gets his opportunity to start as a tight end before he leaves the A&M football program. What if you do get that opportunity and the NFL scouts start going, hey, young man, you might be a good fit for our team? Is that something you would consider, or is that when you go, no, I got the rest of my life, I want to keep my knees sane and all that?
If I'm being honest, it really never got to that point. You know, like in my head, like the dream kind of stopped at walk on at A&M. I really hadn't thought past that. So I don't know if the opportunity ever came. I don't really know what I would do, but I guess we'll see.
Well, God works in mysterious ways, my friend. Sir. You never know what will happen.
Yes.
You're getting a degree in financial planning, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yep. And you eventually, what, want to go wherever God takes you, I guess, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Financial planning came. I enrolled in A&M, and I didn't really know what I wanted. But that Gateway program, I had a summer just to be in classes, be around the place, see what I want. And then I started looking into different majors after Gateway ended. And that's whenever I stumbled upon financial planning. I'm like, dude, this is kind of sweet. Like, numbers, money, get to, like, build relationships with people and just talk. That's kind of cool. And then job after college. I'm going to play one more year of football after this. But after that, I'll just kind of just take me wherever the job takes me. Mm-hmm. For my first year, at least. Ending up back in the panhandle or around the panhandle wouldn't be so bad after
a couple
years.
You have no thoughts about being an assistant football coach or a head football coach at the high school or junior high level, I take it then?
No, sir. That's no. But honest, I mean, kind of sounds fun. Like, after seeing, like, what my coaches have done at Stratford, the high school level is a lot more appealing than the college level. I'll tell you that much. After being at a college football team, like, no.
Yeah.
They work like crazy. Well, like, I wouldn't say work crazy because both levels work like crazy, but it's just a different kind of deal.
I think the higher you go up in this sport, whether mm-hmm. it's you start at peewees or whatever, the more you work your way up in any sport, the more it becomes a business. Then it becomes fun, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, absolutely. Which there's always the fun aspect of it, but there's definitely the business kind of starts to flow in. Like you said, the higher you get, which that's how anything will be once money gets involved and you're kind of having to deal with people, like trying to poach players and that kind of stuff.
We're not going to go into any of the poaching stuff there, and just leave it at that. Luke Braden's been our guest on the West Texas Catholic, the podcast, episode 42, brought to you by Cap'n and powered by the Diocese of Amarillo. And you get the last word, sir.
I just want to thank you, appreciate you for thinking about me, having me on this podcast. And I would just say, anyone that's growing up, getting into their faith a little bit, just don't be ashamed. Don't be scared. Be proud of growing up and getting to take your faith more seriously and into your own hands. And it should be something that you're proud of and not ashamed of.
I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Luke Braden. Before we get into diocesan news, here's His Eminence, Daniel Cardinal DiNardo.
Welcome. I hope all of you are doing well. I think many of you know that this is an important year for the Diocese of Amarillo. We're 100 years old. But I have a special announcement to make to you today. We are grateful, we are honored and delighted that the Apostolic Nuncio in the United States, Archbishop Gabriel Cacha, is going to be present at our anniversary celebration in August. Now, you might ask, Apostolic Nuncio, what is that? Well, it means it's the Pope's personal representative in a country. So Archbishop Cacha is Pope Leo's personal representative in the United States. And I'm sure when he comes in August, he'll have a special message from Pope Leo for all of us here. So I'm inviting you all. I know you've been invited before, but people all around me tell me that I must do it again and really say this is important. So, friends, this is important. We are celebrating our 100th anniversary in August of this year, And we even, as you may know, have moved the venue. Our centennial celebration is August the 22nd at 10 a.m., and it's going to be held at the Amarillo Civic Center Coliseum. That allows more space for us to set up for the Mass, but also more space and more parking for all of you to come. So as your apostolic administrator, that's a nice term that I have right now, I'm watching over the diocese. I hope I'm working hard. I want you to work hard and come on August the 22nd. Thank you.
Let's get you up to date with a few pieces of diocesan news. First off, a reminder, the second season of Spiritual Arms, 5 Minutes for the Battle. New episode drops every Monday morning at 7 o'clock. Joshua Correa hosts it. He's with St. Mary's Cathedral here in Amarillo. Go online to stcapn.com. Also, did you check out The Introverted Apostle? If you haven't, you need to do so. David Wilson, Roman Asbill do a fantastic job with that program. And don't forget to keep up with those programs and so much more on our podcasting network. All of our fantastic Cap'n products are available on Spotify, Amazon Music, and Apple Podcast. Jamaica season continues throughout the Diocese of Amarillo, amarillodiocese.org, westtexascatholic.org. We're trying to keep up with all the Jamaicas going on this summer. Hope you get a chance to attend one and support the local parishes there. Knights of Columbus councils are also busy with golf tournaments. amarillodiocese.org, westtexascatholic.org for all the information. Volunteers still needed at BSA Hospital as communion ministers. This commitment doesn't require a lot of time, according to Elma Fletcher, and she says we'll get you trained up. Call her, 806-206-4496. You know, in a couple of episodes, we won't have to talk about this anymore, and I'll be honest with you, having gone down to the Civic Center and looked at logistics a couple of weeks ago, I'm getting more and more excited for Saturday, August 22nd, and you should too. We're going to celebrate our centennial as a diocese that day with a massive Thanksgiving at 10 o'clock that morning. It's in the Calfarley Coliseum, Amarillo Civic Center, 401 South Buchanan. This is the only morning Mass that morning in the Diocese of Amarillo. Find more about this in your favorite media sources. We'll keep you up to date with it. But more importantly, we want to see you on Saturday, August 22nd at the Civic Center. It won't be a celebration unless you're with us. So come join us at the Amarillo Civic Center as we celebrate 100 years of faith as the Diocese of Amarillo. And one other quick note, for the third time since 2019, John Michael Talbot will be performing in concert at St. Mary's Cathedral, 1200 South Washington. First time he's been here since 2022. That concert Wednesday, August 26th, 6:30 p.m. Tickets are $15 each. And yes, we're going to try to angle to get John Michael Talbot to drop by and do a podcast or two with us sometime after that performance. We'll be looking for that. We'll keep you up to date. All right, real quick, comments, suggestions. If you'd like to help underwrite the cost of Cap'n, we'd love that. If you're interested in advertising or you want to make a comment or two about us, stcapn@dioama.org is the email address. Fill out that form at stcapn.com. We do want to hear from you. We want to make this podcast and all of our other podcast network offerings even better. And again, a reminder, keep up with this program and our other offerings on our podcasting network at Spotify, Amazon Music, and Apple Podcast. Hey, have yourselves a fantastic week, folks. Remember, abortion is not and never will be healthcare. Viva Cristo Rey. Now we're going to test him on his knowledge of Stratford. Why is that football field named after Sam Bass?
Oh, I wish you wouldn't have done that because I don't know.
We'll delete that question. Moving on, David. Viva Cristo Rey. Good. Well, he says I'm going to do that too hard. My face is just going to...